have a baby, right? And don't, you shouldn't submerge yourself in water. She washed her hair and then her hearing went away.
Wow.
And when I met this man, I used to say to him, are you deaf? And he used to say, no. I said, well, why do you talk so loud? And then I met his mom and he said, yeah, you know, I lost my hearing. Mm-hmm. So when he's a little baby and she's talking, she's like, hi, baby, you know? And so now he talks loud. That's naturally, right. But right. Because his mom was afflicted. So I
talk loud. I but funny. I was pregnant. Mm-hmm. And I lost my hearing.
Wow.
So that was like 7 months pregnant, mm-hmm. non-hearing.
Right.
And then a few months after that. But you know, what can I testify
yeah,
about?
Yeah.
What caused yeah. it, sister?
We're not sure. Mm. My daughter was supposed to be born with spina bifida. Mm. And spina bifida is when your spinal cord doesn't close at mm-hmm. L2.
Okay.
And so then you need like a tube to bring the cerebral spinal fluid back to your brain.
Okay.
So she would have had multiple surgeries, everything like that. So they were very worried about it. They gave me the abortion literature. Mm-hmm. I'm a Christian. Right. Mm-hmm. I don't really believe in it. But at the right. same time, I had to actually explore that other side.
Right, yeah.
So I actually went and interviewed a whole bunch of women that had children with spina bifida. And all of them told me, well, you're lucky, sister, basically, that, you know, you got the choice. We didn't have a choice. We just, you know, the technology wasn't there yet.
Right.
So they just had the baby.
Right, yeah.
But they told me about their nightmares of, you know, a lot of them lived with regret.
Okay.
Like if they had the choice, they would mm-hmm. never do this choice because the, you know, the whole thing about having a handicapped child,
right.
it was mm-hmm. a lot for them.
Okay.
I think I didn't like what I was hearing because
right.
I really wanted to have another baby.
Right.
I was having a girl mm-hmm. and the whole thing was in conflict with my inside, mm-hmm. right? I don't believe in it, to mm-hmm. be honest.
Right.
And I had to make this decision and I chose to ignore them, but I think I turned off my hearing. That's mm-hmm. my opinion.
Yeah.
Because the doctor told me something was wrong with my malice in my ear,
okay.
right? And I kept going to the neuro.
Right.
And they would do the tuning fork thing, and mm-hmm. I couldn't hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just drove me nuts because I really wanted to hear it, and yeah, I just yeah. couldn't hear it.
Right.
And, you know, at the end of it all, they told me I would have to learn how to sign. And funny enough, when I was little, mm-hmm. I used to live near the Micaiah Center, and I learned how to sign, right. and through Pathfinders, yeah. same thing. And I know a lot of words. I can do the whole alphabet. I could sign to you right now, but it would be like every letter to the words, right?
right.
So I wasn't really scared about it, right. but you know, it's hard to lose a sense, and mm. it's hard. Like, I'm going to probably write a book about that, but
right, yeah.
you lose a sense and the other ones get heightened.
Okay.
And
right.
so as a massage therapist, everybody was telling me, my hands are amazing. Mm-hmm. What happened? You gave me the best massage of your life. So I knew that part of my life was mm-hmm. changing, right? Mm-hmm. And the doctor wasn't that scared, but he told me, you know, it's 50-50. When you deliver, maybe it'll come back, maybe it won't. Mm-hmm. 3 days later, after I delivered, I heard a pop. Like the first sound I've heard in months, mm-hmm. I could hear like something. Mm-hmm. I couldn't tell. It wasn't a word. But it wasn't like the silence I used to live in.
Right, yeah.
So I was just hopeful and I just hung on to that little, you know, like when you see in the video that little light mm-hmm, and you could, yeah, you were scraping your way out yeah, and you see that little yeah, light. Yeah. I could see that like that light was in my ear
mm-hmm.
and it just gave me hope that I'm going to hear again. Mm-hmm. And I just prayed about it. And, you know, I prayed the whole way when I was pregnant with my daughter
mm-hmm.
and she was supposed to have this and she was supposed to have that and she came up perfect.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So who doesn't say that prayer doesn't work? Prayer works.
Prayer works.
Prayer works. I Amen. Prayed about my hearing. Mm-hmm. I prayed about the chance that I could hear again. I could hear.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yes. And, you know, yeah. again, to
see,
hear.
Even in the way you tell the story, I'm captivated. I'm like, ah, you see, I hear you.
Yeah.
Like, and, I'm not, and now I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
I can't wait. Now yeah. now I must read. Now,
yeah, I get it. And I get what people are going to learn. Because
wow.
I see it. I feel it. I hear it. When you're telling the story, I'm like, okay, you got me. I'm sure anyway, listening.
Faith-based
you
stories
know?
Are always great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because sometimes it gets dark out there, you know, and you can't see your mm-hmm. way. But faith is the light. And so when you tell your story, you give people who did not have faith, you give them light where there was only darkness for them.
Exactly.
Where they could only, I remember saying something to someone one day and they turned and they looked at me like, what did you just say? And I repeated myself and they said, you can say that? And I'm like, of course you can. You see, my mouth just said it. That's how I felt. They said, I felt like this before, but I couldn't put it into words. But you saying those words might actually teach someone what to pray for in their situation. Mm-hmm. You may actually give them that inkling that this is something, this is a way to access God.
Right.
Through faith. Exactly. And that's real.
Exactly.
Listen, I'm intrigued.
Mm-hmm. When I read Miss Trish's story, mm-hmm. I dropped the paper. Like, it was so intense. There was a part there I was just like, and I couldn't wait to see. Yeah. And that's what you have to get from reading. So going back to that workshop, you need to write in such a way that people want to read the rest.
Right.
You know, have you ever picked up a book and then you just don't want to read the rest of it? And you bought it, but it just doesn't pull you in.
I'm
it
no longer interested. It's not holding me.
And I don't want you to digest this book in one sitting. It's not to be read like, whoop. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be like every day, just read one. Mm-hmm. And again, back to that whole connection with God thing, a lot of people, they're trying to do too much.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Just start with the connection first, then go to the Bible reading, then go to maybe church going or whatever it is that, you know, but just do one little digestible thing to bring you one closer, 1% better every day. That's that theme. Mm-hmm. So try to get 1% better every day. And when it comes to writing a workshop, you have to write. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. Like, I can't write your book for you. Actually, I could because I'm a ghostwriter, but I don't have time. But, you know, you have to write the story, and then I can take that story and tell you, here, this, that, where you should put a little bit more of this. You should put a little bit more oomph there. Take this out, you know, because, you know, we need to show the transformation. We need to show the result. We need to show this is where you are at and this is where you're going. That's the whole point of every story. And you don't know who's going to read your story, and it will transform their life. And that's the point of writing books. And so there's 4 books in 2 years, and I'm thrilled, and I'm not stopping.
I love it. And I have a couple of books inside me as well. So I definitely want to take part. So now for those who are listening, they feel they have that book inside of them. They want to get it out. What are the next steps? Where do we go from here? How do we register? How do we take part?
Well, definitely contact me. I mean, there's so many ways to contact me. I have a Jot form that I want you to fill out because I really want to connect with everybody. Like, even the people that are in my book, they're handpicked, you know? So I want to connect with you. I want to make sure you're right. Like, there's a difference between nonfiction and fiction. So again, you might have a story, but I'm a nonfiction writer. So I can help people who want to tell their story, their biographies, those kind of things. I'm good at that part. But then if you're a fiction writer, maybe I should connect you with one of my colleagues. So I want you to fill out the form. I want to know where you're going. And then we'll decide if the workshop is best for you. And my name is Alvina. Thank you, Jesus, that my parents named me that. There's not too many Alvinas in this world. So my name is Alvina Ryan. My website is www.alvinaryan.com. On Facebook, I'm Alvina Ryan. On Instagram, I'm Alvina _ Ryan or Alvina Ryan Readers. And TikTok, I'm Alvina Ryan. Go to my TikTok. I have funny TikToks. I have funny TikToks. Right now. But, you know, if you go to alvinaryan.com, you can look for the contact button or put / contact, and then you'll have a form there, and that way we can communicate. I can send you my Jot form, and we can come up with a time where you can actually discuss with me, because I really want you to connect with me. I want you, you know, as an advisor, that, you know, that whole aura of me. I like people to be with me because, you know, they've chosen, like, it's like a job interview. I choose you, you choose me.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So I want you to be there because you want to, and that way you're going to get the most benefit. And also, I don't want you to just do it because. I want you to really make this a commitment so that you want to go further and you want to actually produce that book. Right? So
I love it. I love it. I love it. I'm definitely, you know, I should make a note right now.
Alvina Ryan. That's it.
Good. No, because it's honestly, like, I think I have 2 books in me. I was just talking to my wife about this. So I definitely, it's the time. And I feel it's necessary. There's things that I have in me that the world needs to hear. I know. It's okay. Now I'm in my
definitely,
head.
I'm like, yeah, definitely.
You see, and I know I'm not the only one. So I'm excited for this, and I'm glad that you've created this opportunity for the community.
Right.
So now, as we're now closing up, this has been very fun. Like, we've brought our listeners through journeys, through emotions, through the spiritual revelations. And as you know, like, when we're closing up our interviews, you know, I always like to have people leave us with some empowering words.
Well, I sign all of my books this year, the new book, I Testify on Purpose Because, mm-hmm. I signed them all that says, in everything, give thanks. Mm. And so that's what I am. I'm grateful. Mm-hmm. I'm thankful mm-hmm. for every opportunity, for mm-hmm. God, for this opportunity mm-hmm. to do the interview so that we could connect with the people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm just grateful. Mm. I think every night I journal mm-hmm. in a gratitude journal. Mm. And when you look back and you reflect, you know, even a few months ago or even a year ago on what you've done and where you're going, mm-hmm. you know, I thank him every day for what he's done, what he's doing, and what he is going to do mm-hmm. in my life. So those are my words.
Amen. Hotep, Ashe, Ashe. Guys, you've been listening. We have been blessed to be with Dr. Alvina Ryan, who has her writing workshop. Again, for those who you feel you have that book in your spirit, reach out to Alvina Ryan on everything. Just connect with her. She'll send you a job form to see if it's a match. If, you know, like, fingers crossed. And if not, you know, if it's not matched with her, then within her network, she'll see who she can plug you with. Again, Queen, I thank you for being with us today on Parley with the People on the Empower Hour. We're super grateful. And guys, just stay tuned. We have more show for you.
What it do, Empower Hour listeners? It is your homegirl, Tammy. You already know I'm not a pastor, but y'all gonna get the word today, okay? Now, first and foremost, I hope everyone is doing good. I'm sending y'all some love. I'm sending y'all some light. I'm sending y'all some positivity, okay? Life is what we make it. Right? We are not our circumstances. We are not the negative things that happen to us. We always have a choice, right? We can't control what happens to us, but we can definitely control how we react, right? Make sure you are out here in control of your emotions, controlling how you react to things, right? And not blocking your blessings by being bitter or negative or vengeful, passive aggressive. You know what I mean? Really be out here elevating your energy, spreading positivity, giving gratitude, showing respect, right? That is the most important thing that we could do right now. It is to uplift our vibrations and keep them high, right? Now, y'all, we are entering the month of February, right? I'm making it a point today. I didn't want to prepare anything, right? I just wanted to speak to y'all from the heart because I think that's important sometimes, right? It's cool to come through, you know, with information and facts and stories and this and drama and perspective and whatnot. But sometimes we just gotta, you know, sit down and speak, you know, heart to heart, soul to soul, you know what I mean? And just remind each other who we are, right? You know, I've always had a problem with Black History Month being in February because it is the shortest month. And I always just found that off, right? I do know, yes, there are reasons as to why it is, you know, in February. But at the end of the day, for me personally, I'm just talking to y'all, for me, it was always a problem. And so that's why I try to make it a point to make every day Black History Day. Every chance I get, I'm trying to educate someone. Every chance I get, I also be checking people that be stepping out of line, right? But at the end of the day, no matter what, Black History Month is in February. And I think that no matter how we feel about that, we need to utilize that to its maximum potential, right? We need to be unapologetic about our energy. And on that, I'm talking every day, right? You know, oftentimes I feel that as melanated people, as Black people, we are taught to dim our light. Or you know what? I won't even say we are taught. We are conditioned to dim our light. I'm going to give you guys an example, okay? My father, born in 1942 in the USA, before the Civil Rights Movement, right? He was not allowed to go to school with white people. And, you know, the way he raised me was to be solid. He raised me to be outspoken, right? He raised me to be 10 toes down, stand on my 2 feet. Don't take no mess from no one. He always would tell me, don't start nothing. But don't take no shit from no one, right? And you know, my father died when I was young. I was 12, okay? But even though he died when I was 12, he had time to teach me about everything, okay? He taught me about the civil rights movement, right? He taught me about slavery. He taught me all of these important things about our history, right? Not just our family history, our personal family history, but he taught me about our history as a whole, as African Americans, right? And for him, he wasn't playing on that. I remember he would keep me up until 1 a.m., 2 a.m. on a school night in order to drill this information into me. And you know, back then I would cry. I wouldn't understand. I would be upset because I'm like, man, I'm just trying to sleep because I know I got to be in school tomorrow and then act like I'm not tired. Gotta act like I'm not tired, you know? But now it's such a blessing for me, you know, because I know not only my family history, right? I know our history as African Americans. And that history has been changed, has been diluted, right? With time. And if we look at our young Black people right now in 2023, so those that are teenagers, young adults right now, are they even conscious of what happened a couple of years ago? Are they aware, right, that we couldn't go to white restrooms? We couldn't go to school with white people. You know, my father being American, I had dual citizenship, okay? This is just a sidebar. And obviously, as a young adult, you know, I messed around and lost my dual citizenship. Then after that, okay, time, you know, fast forwards. I want to get my dual citizenship. Listen, we gonna get it together. Y'all already know I be mispronouncing words and I go with it, okay? Y'all understood exactly what I was trying to say. And you know what? A sidebar to my sidebar. I think it's important to not be perfect, right? I'm not gonna edit this out. I'm not gonna ask someone to edit it out, right? Yeah, I fumbled my words. It is what it is. It's okay, right? We have to stop this whole narrative of perfection, right? Every photo is photoshopped. You know, all these avatars, everything has to be perfect. Nah, everything don't have to be perfect because we human and we not perfect, okay? Okay, this sidebar is closed. Back to the previous sidebar. So, you know, when I was trying to get it back, you know, okay, contacted, you know, the proper authorities and whatnot. And they said, well, you know what? You have to prove that your father contributed to American society for a minimum of 10 years. I said, that's easy. My dad didn't immigrate to Canada, you know, much before probably, you know, late 30s type of thing. You know what I mean? So anyways, I contact the city of Philadelphia, right? Trying to get, you know, information, contact the state of Pennsylvania, trying to get his records, because I'm like, man, I mean, this is a person born in the U.S. with U.S. papers. Y'all gotta have a trail somewhere. Listen, they sent me a couple of papers. You know, obviously handwritten, any which way, on just like not even on a piece of paper, like on scraps of paper. And it was just like, oh, Melvin was by the fence trying to talk to white girls when he knows he can't. I couldn't believe it. They had no record of my father because my father was Black. They had no record, y'all. They had no records. I was not able to prove that my father contributed to American society for 10 years because back then, you know, our people were treated as animals. Even though slavery was abolished in 1864, 1865, we ain't had much rights nor respect until the civil rights movement, right? And, you know, I'm giving that as an example because I feel, right, that we have been very pacific in our ways and nature right here in Montreal, in Quebec, in Canada. I am all for love and light and positivity. I am all for let's make a fire, sit around it, eat, share stories, and sing Kumbaya. I'm for that. But I'm not for people playing with us. I'm not for that at all. I'm not for people giving us labels, right? I'm not for people setting forth an incorrect narrative on our people, right? I am not for our people being paid less than their white counterparts. I am not for our people, right, being paid less, having to work harder, even though they are more educated or and have more experience. I'm not for it, right? Me personally, I am way more Malcolm X, way more Farrakhan, way more Garvey in my ways than I am MLK. And I'm unapologetic about that energy because my father taught me and explained to me the harsh reality, the cold truth of what my immediate family went through, what he went through, what our ancestors went through. And it hits different, for example, for African Americans, because it was just yesterday, right? You know, it might not be as real, for example, for Haitians, because they were liberated in 1804. So that's far still in their history, right? In my history, that's not far. That's not far at all. You know what I mean? My dad was not allowed to go to school with white people because he was born 20 years before the civil rights movement started. You know what I mean? So I'm saying all of that to say this, you know, let's be intentional about this February 2023, right? Let's be unapologetic about the energy that we share. Let's not try to, you know, when we're at work or, you know, in a setting that is predominantly white, let's not tiptoe around the subject. Let's not tiptoe around, oh yeah, you know, it's Black History Month. Let me share a Black history fact with you. Nah. Let's be unapologetic. Let's come true with big energy, right? Let's do that. At a certain point, we are not respected because we have been too pacific. And I'm not saying let's rise up and you know, start breaking things and doing a bunch of craziness. No, but what I'm saying is be unapologetic about who you are. Demand your respect, right? Command it. Command the energy in the room, because at the end of the day, you are powerful. At the end of the day, you are part of the chosen people. And that is just a fact, right? Black people, we are the first people on this earth, okay? It was not white to Adam and Eve. Hear me when I talk, people, and do your research. And just know that you are part of the chosen people. You have something special within you, whether you know it or not. But I'm calling upon you today, right, to really go on and do some introspection. I'm asking you to sit down with yourself and hype yourself up as I am hyping you now, right? And be unapologetic about your energy, about your history, about your brothers and sisters, and about your ancestors, okay? So let this Black History Month, February 2023, yeah, let it be big energy, y'all, all right? So love, light, power, I'm out.
You know what time it is. This is Kaya's Jambalaya. You know I'm always cooking up something hot. Come on in. Let me feed you, baby.
Now, this is Kaya's Jambalaya, and you know I am always trying to bring it to you hot and new. So pull up a bowl, get your bowl, and pull up your seat, and come on and have a seat that sit down with me, baby. Let me tell you what's going on right now in the news. Now, you all know who Young Miami is. She is one part of the City Girls, JT and Carisha. Well, Carisha has a show called Carisha Please, and she is giving away all the secrets on her show. Now, she did a show the other day with Trina where they were asking each other some sexually explicit questions. And one of the questions was, you know, what's something strange that you like done? You know, people probably wouldn't know that you like done. And Carisha said, she likes golden showers.
Oh, my goodness.
And so Trina was a little confused. Trina had to ask her. She had to double up. She's like, so that means when, you know, when someone actually pees on you? And she's like, yeah, I love it. And she busts out laughing. She's like, don't judge me, y'all. I just love it. I don't know. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, wow, like I've heard of women giving it before, but the only time I heard of a woman getting it is during the R. Kelly trial. I don't know.
Yeah.
She brought this up and it struck something for me. And I'm like, you know, there really are more people out there that have deviance than not. There's a lot more people out there that have certain acquired tastes, let's say, have you, when it comes to their sexual life. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea that the range was so wide, and especially in the Black community. And for me, sometimes I think, when I think about these sexual deviants, I always say, you know, you never really see Black folks caught up in this type of stuff. But I think that Hollywood, I think, might be one of the reasons why so many more Black people are being exposed to these types of things. Mm. So I laughed about it, you know, and it was like, okay, it was a thing. And then Dominican singer and songstress Amara La Negra, actually, because of all of the backlash that Carisha got for actually saying it, she did a live the other day and said she also loves golden showers. Now, to the listeners out there, I know y'all might be cringing right now, but we have no idea how many people actually like these types of things. So I just wanted to address it because I'm like, wow, did you guys know this, that people were actually doing this?
Yeah, like, I could tell you I didn't. And as you just said, I was like, wait, who are those two people? I'm Googling it right now. You say?
Oh, yes. Young Miami, Carisha Please, that's the name of her show that she did it on with Trina. And then Amara La Negra. So yeah. I'm like, whoa, I'm flabbergasted.
Yeah.
And so I'm just going to move on from here. I'm going to move rather quickly. Krishan Rock, Blueface's girlfriend. They are known for being one of the most toxic couples on TV since Whitney and Bobby. And they are calling them a modern day Whitney and Bobby, but I don't think that Whitney and Bobby had anything on them. Krishan Rock went live the other day and posted some publications telling the world that she is pregnant with Blueface's child. Now, if anyone has been keeping up with them, they have a TV show together, but she was also on Baddie South. And after watching the show, I actually gained a newfound love for this young girl because I realized that in her quest to put her family on the map and make sure that they had some wealth, some generational wealth, she kind of has sacrificed herself. She kind of, for me, it screams sacrificial lamb. Mm. And I feel put herself out there and allows herself to go through all of this because it takes care of her family.
Okay.
However, it's gotten deep. Mm. Because she has now gone on to say that she is pregnant by this young man. And so she could possibly be attached to him for the rest of her life. And I would hate to see this toxicity carry over into a young baby's life.
Wow, yeah.
However, there's been some rumors swirling, and his mom actually posted some stuff online saying, well, we can't wait for the paternity test because my son has had a vasectomy.
Oh.
And saying that he had a secret vasectomy and hadn't told anyone. So I don't know what I'm looking at right now, and I hope that y'all stay tuned for the next couple of shows until we figure out what's really going on here. If it's a lie, they told it, and I read it, and so I'm telling y'all. So check it out. Right. Wow. Now, they're saying Blueface actually had he had his man part snipped. So he probably can't even have children unless he didn't follow the instructions from the doctor, because after having a vasectomy, you're not supposed to participate, I think, for a while afterwards as to not break what they clipped. I guess that's what you would say. Ooh, so,
jeez. Sorry. It's
crazy. Yeah. Crazy, right? Mm-hmm. So right now, we're about to see what's really going on. But I do believe this is her child, and I do believe they're trying to protect this guy, but it is what it is. It's even gone so far that his other baby mother, I think her name is Alexis, she's decided to tell this young girl that she should have an abortion. I think Alexis should just mind her business.
That's rude.
I bet rude. Go and take care of your own kids and mind your own business. And if y'all children end up to be brothers and sisters, so be it. That's what it is sometimes. Like, be quiet and don't be telling people to do rude stuff like that. You're too rude. But I must say, I am keeping an eye out for Krishan Rock because my bet is on her. Truly. Mm-hmm. I want to believe that somewhere in there, that everything that they're doing out in front of the media is an act, and that they don't really fight when they're at home, that they are sitting down plotting how to keep the media interested the next day. I pray that that is truly what's going on and what we're seeing when we see them outside acting a fool. I truly hope that all of the stuff that we see about them is part of the plot and not their reality. In other news, you know, I was very upset to hear that Nia Long ended up having to get a divorce. Nia Long, which I told you guys some months back, learned about the news, as we did on the news, that her husband, who is part of the NFL, was actually having an affair with another man that is part of the NFL's wife. And she is not a recruiter, but she is, she's more like the agent that takes care of the athletes when they move to different towns. She gets them set up in their home and stuff like that. So this lady actually helped Nia Long and her husband fix up their home and pick out their home when they move to the new city. And then to find out that she has been sleeping with her husband. Well, when I start thinking about it, you know, this might not be the first family that she did it to, but it might be the first family that she got caught doing it with. Right? And this is something to definitely look at. But now, the people are all over Nia Long because she was cited recently with Omarion.
Okay. Do you, sister? Do you? Shit.
Now, I think they call it is it called a May-September relationship? Something like that. I think it's called a May-September relationship when an older woman goes with a younger man.
That's what they call it? Not clearing?
Yeah, May-September relationship. I think that's what it's called. Anyways, long story short, the media goes wild about this because we really just want Nia Long to be happy. And we are not sure if they're dating or not, but they were pictured together and Omarion seems to be loving her and she seems to be loving his company also. The way that they're laughing and looking at each other is just like, wow. And if it's not real, I love the way that they did this in order to give her that zhuzh so that they know, listen, the boys still love Nia here.
Yo, I know. I still love Nia, so...
Yeah, we're just... not mad at you, Nia Long.
Mm-hmm. At all.
And we're not mad at you, Omarion. We are actually here for it. We are here for it. So I'm going to, towards the end, I'm going to give y'all a little scenario, and we're going to see what y'all think about it. But Beyonce just did a concert in Dubai.
Mm-hmm.
Beyonce did a concert in Dubai and they took everybody's phones. No one was allowed to use their phones. No one was allowed to videotape. They had thousands of security in the crowd. It was a private concert in Dubai for a certain amount of people. And Beyonce killed this concert. So much so that it has created a stir on the internet about her runs. Now, for those of you who don't know who runs are, runs are a vocal process that one does when singing, carrying a note for a long time, changing that note into different notes.
Mm-hmm.
And there is maybe 100 singers out right now trying to redo Beyonce's runs from this epic show. When I tell you, Beyonce has been working on her vocals please don't play with Mama B. Mm-mm. Please do with her, because when I tell you, if you haven't seen her in a long time, she is not just sitting somewhere on her behind with her babies. She is some practicing her vocals, because this lady here, hey, vocally, she is a powerhouse. But we have to address the elephant in the room. Dubai has anti-gay or anti-queer laws. But the album Renaissance was made in ode to the LGBTQ community.
Okay.
And she performed that album at this show in Dubai. And the LGBT community are furious right now.
Yeah. So they did tell you, like, she shouldn't be allowed to perform her own album in different places?
She should perform it. But however, if the album was mostly supported by the LGBT community and the supporters of the community, why would you take the concert to a country that they don't support that movement? They should have been the last country that you did that concert at. And just to play devil's advocate, I feel like if you did go and perform it for them, that some of the proceeds of that $24 million should go to some of their causes. You know?
I find it, I don't know. I'm like, okay, the album was supported by the community, that community. So they're saying because they supported the album, she should not be playing it in places that don't support them. That's basically is that a fair paraphrase there? Is that a fair?
That's a fair paraphrase. That's fair.
Yeah. I just feel that I think that's an overreach personally. I just feel like that's like, it's like, I find that's kind of bullyish, and I find that's kind of, I personally feel that's an overstep. It's like, you have an album dedicated to you. It's not dedicated to them, but you know, it is, all right, cool. So it was produced for them. I just think it's an overstep to try to say where she can and can't perform it. I think it's more for the people she's performing for to be like, nah, don't play that here. If they let her play it here, then why isn't it viewed as great? Like, you know, she's promoting for us in different places that we can't normally get into. Why isn't it framed like that?
Right. Mm-hmm. And I agree. And maybe the wording maybe wasn't right, but I do get it. I get it. I understand what they mean. And it goes back to the album that she did prior to this, where she was in Africa. And a lot of African people were complaining. They're like, what are you doing? You don't even support us that way. Mm-hmm. You made an album, but you know, that's not what you are to us. And they were very, very upset with Beyonce. And I think in everything that celebrities do, you know, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. But I kind of understand where they're going with this. And I'm like, you know, even for Dubai to ask her to come and perform that album.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's like that is interesting, you know, but it's a new day all around, like, you know, so shoot, where you going to do?
So I'm just watching it now, and I'm seeing some things, and I'm just like, you know what, let me just sit back and watch and see how this plays out a little bit, and I'm going to tell you guys a little bit more about what's going on with that situation a little bit later once I get some information.
Please do.
My time is running short, so I have a quick question. Do you remember back in the days, because now in social media, we know that if you're no longer friends with someone or you guys no longer get along, that they just kind of remove them from their social media and then take the pictures off their media, right? Them together, of them by themselves, the birthday wishes that you wish them. Do you remember back in the days when you used to take a marker and like scribble out their faces?
Of course.
Do you remember that?
Of course, that's how we used to delete people.
Right? That's how you delete them, right? That's how you unfollow back in the 80s. You take a little scissors and you cut a circle around their face and then you push your finger through it like that. So the picture, except for the push-through face people.
Of course.
How many pictures do you have like that in your home?
Well, me personally, none, but...
Me either. I don't have any either. But I actually spoke to a friend of mine the other day, and she says that like 50 pictures like that.
Oh my gosh.
I laughed so hard. I did not know what to do with myself, but I'm like, girl, so how are your, you know, your stats on social media? She's like, look, this is my block list. She has 1,000 people on her block list. It's what media has truly come to these days. I just thought that was very funny, and I wanted to just bring that up. I think that's part of the culture too, you know. And we were talking about, you know, the friend thing earlier, you know, with on Gina's segment. So it just made me think about that, like how many of us actually unfriended people that way when we were younger. Mm-hmm. Anyway. This is Kaya's Jambalaya. So I thank you guys for being present, for coming and enjoying my segment. If you want to see more of what I do, you can find me at Strong Firm Bottom, all one word, on Instagram.
Hey, everybody. I'm Gina the Great, a.k.a. Miss Politically Correct, a.k.a. The Devil's Advocate, a.k.a. Big Liar in Energy. And this is Ungrind My Gears, a segment where we keep it light, keep it bright, and share some fun facts and some jokey jokes.
I got a good one for you guys today. I got a good one because I mean, I learn every time I do a black fact. I'm not gonna lie, but this one was really interesting, and I'm gonna talk about the learning point at the end. But first, let's talk about Josiah Henson. So for those who don't know, Josiah Henson, born June 15th, 1789,
I said Gemini. Sorry,
1789, and not for nothing, I don't know why I came across him, but I chose to talk about him because he shares a name with my nephew. So I was just like, oh, let's find out what Josiah Henson was about. Well, he was an author, an abolitionist, and a minister. He was born into slavery in Port Tobacco, Charles County, Maryland, and he escaped to Upper Canada, now Ontario, in 1830. He founded a settlement and labor schools for other fugitive slaves at Dawn near Dresden in Kent County, Upper Canada of Ontario. Henson's autobiography, The Life of Josiah Henson, formerly a slave, now an inhabitant of Canada, as narrated by himself, is believed to have inspired the title character of Harriet Beecher Stowe's 1852 novel, Uncle Tom's Cabin. So this is when I came across that, I was just like, Uncle Tom's Cabin? But wait. When we talk about an Uncle Tom, to us, that's a slur. That's somebody who, you know, just does things for the massa and does things for the white folks and what have you. Mm-hmm. However, Uncle Tom was in Harriet Beecher Stowe's novel. He was the person who was beaten to death for refusing to betray the whereabouts of other enslaved people. Uncle Tom is a heroic character, loyal to the slaves in hiding, and that kind of got distorted when they did a stage version where they basically turned the whole character on its head. Mm-hmm. And I found that really interesting because I don't know who started coining, well, because of the stage play, right? But why would we want to take such a powerful character and then turn it on its head, having us calling other people Uncle Toms in a negative manner, yet we'll use the n-words in a quote-unquote loving manner when we're talking to each other?
It's the same reason they call us black,
right? It's the same reason why we are calling ourselves the Gentiles when we are in fact the true Jews,
where we call ourselves minority when we're actually the more dominant species on the planet, the more dominant race on the planet. Yeah,
it's the mind.
And it's stories like these that make me do the black facts, because we have a lot of unlearning to do and relearning to do. And we're part of our problem. I mean, I've been saying that, I'm not going to lie. Yes, we have a lot of people stepping on our necks and all that, where we are the majority around the world, like where we've been taken away from our majority to become a minority. Mm-hmm. But we have to relearn our greatness and not have them take away our heroic characters and make them sound like they were what we call today Uncle Toms.
Yeah, and the thing where I feel we went off is because we're just a trusting people, right? And so we took the word of people who are just coming in saying, yeah, no, this is what it is. And we took that and we absorbed that information because we're like, well, we wouldn't lie, you know, to educate people who are coming to us for information. But no, that's not how everybody is. Some people will lie just to make sure that you stay in a position of inferiority. So but it's a new day. So we're becoming smarter. We're coming to realize that just, you know, that we are who we are.
So that was the black fact for today.
Yeah, I like that.
Yes. So I had some life hacks that I had started a couple weeks back. So I'm going to give you guys a couple more of these life hack points. I'll give you three more today. So number 7 is you can't stop learning. The moment you stop learning, you stop progressing. Acquire new knowledge, learn a new skill, apply, progress, and repeat. Which is funny because I've been telling myself I want to find a new hobby, a new something to kind of to do something new outside of my normal day-to-day. Like I need to break the, why am I losing the word? What's that called?
Routine?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, mm-hmm. Something to break the routine. Number 8, not everyone wants you to win. Learn to recognize those that truly want the best for you and those that don't. Cut the ladder out. That's high key because the fake friends and the fake colleagues lifestyle is real out there in these streets. I'm just saying.
But how do you call them out? You know, like it's very nice to say that, but how do you, you know, like how do you know the ones who are pretending, the ones who are just,
you know what? And maybe it's through time and stuff, but I learned to really trust my gut with that, to be honest, I really did. And the other thing too, that I kind of, I'm not saying that this person may not necessarily be a good friend. Sometimes they are, sometimes they aren't. But if they come to you and they talk about everybody else in the friend group, chances are you're in that conversation when they're talking to somebody else about everybody else in the friend group too. So you might want to just gauge how certain things are from that standpoint. And if they neg you, like neg if everything, you? Yeah. So negging is like giving, it's giving like a negative, it's kind of like, oh, well, you're pretty for someone who's short kind of thing, right? It's like, it's a compliment that has a backhanded negative connotation, like, oh, like, you know, lucky you have a boyfriend for your personality kind of thing. Like,
right, like, all right.
Friends like you, who needs enemies? You know what I mean? So like, listen to their compliments, listen to how they're saying things, if you will.
Discernment. Yeah. Got it.
Discernment. Number 9, risk is part of life. Whether you're taking a new job, starting your own business, or moving to a new country, anything that has the potential to improve your life is life involves risk. Embrace it. So I really like that one.
Mm-hmm.
High risk, high reward, they say.
Yep.
Same for the other way around. I'm just saying. I'm just saying there. So we're going to talk about what you're watching. And have you guys ever heard of Travel Man?
Travel Man, no.
Mm-hmm. So Travel Man, I stumbled upon it on YouTube, and I don't know where else it's playing, to be honest. It's another British TV, but it's with Richard Ayoade, who is I believe he's Nigerian and he said it, Norwegian. Yeah, I believe it's Nigerian, Norwegian. And he just goes around to all these different cities and he gives these little facts and stuff, but he has a very deadpan comedy. Like he literally says it himself, like he can't, he doesn't really have facial expressions. So whether he likes it, he doesn't like it, it's funny or it's not, like it's the same facial expression. And I find him absolutely hilarious. But it's interesting because he goes to all these cities and he does it in 48 hours and he gives you little points and tips to where you should go and what you should go and what's like a local, local food or traditional foods and stuff like that, which me, who loves to travel, like absolutely love watching the show. So if you guys ever get a chance and looking looking to see too if he's traveled to anywhere that you might want to go, he might give you some points and tips on what to do when you go there too. So that's Travel Man. And the other thing that I wanted to talk about was some popular TV shows that were canceled too soon. And these are some black shows. So I wanted to kind of go through them and find out if you guys actually watch these shows or ever heard of them. And if not, you know, maybe go check them out. And who knows, that extra viewage might bring them back. These are all like some Black shows that are not your typical like jokey Black shows. You know what I mean? Like, because, you know, they're still stereotypical what they expect Black TV to be, i.e. Love and Hip Hop. Like Black shows that don't have the stereotypical like, oh, it's because they're Black that this is the show. So some of them I've seen, some of them I haven't. But the first one is Love Is. The next one is Lovecraft County. Lovecraft Country, which I've heard so much about, and it's on my to watch list. I just haven't got around to it, but I definitely heard it's really, really great. It has a bit of sci-fi to it, if it's my understanding. Raising Dion. That looks like a superhero type of like a kid's
movie. Yeah, that one I feel like I've heard. I thought that was a movie.
It was good.
Yeah. Legendary. Love me some Legendary. Had no idea it was canceled. I'm super upset. So Legendary is it's a reality TV, but it's about ballroom, like ballroom dancing in the not necessarily the drag queen scene. I think like you do have drag in that too, but like it's just everything encompassing. If you ever watch Paris is Burning, it gives you a full idea of what ballroom is, but that was canceled. I'm upset about that. Our Kind of People. Hadn't heard about that one. Underground. Batwoman. So apparently Batwoman came out and Batwoman was Black.
What?
Yeah.
You lying.
Yep. Didn't even know that existed. Don't know where it came.
That's why we don't even know about it, because they snatched that quick. They said, oh, don't get too empowered.
Not that. Star. I think I watched an episode or two of it.
Star a Black show?
That's what they said. I mean, I could have sworn the main character was a white girl, but
Batwoman made 3 seasons though, not bad. Okay,
3 seasons.
That's what I'm seeing here. Batwoman, yeah, season 3.
Wow, and Suite Life, Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. So I was that too. So I mean, go check out that list and see if you find yourself in any of those shows, and if they're worth watching.
True, yeah. I'm gonna dig some of these back up. I'm gonna check them on Netflix. That's what they do, yo.
Mm-hmm. And are you guys watching anything in particular?
You want me to go?
I mean, whomever. Are you guys watching anything in particular that you want to share with the people?
Yeah, no, I love a little ratchet TV, you know. But I'm kind of doing the classic. It's Clatchit TV. So it's classy ratchet. So mm-hmm. I'm watching the Real Housewives of Potomac right now. And I'm going to tell you something. I ain't never seen that many blue or green-eyed, blonde-haired Black women in my life. Natural.
Huh? They're not naturally blonde, but their eyes are light, yeah.
No, the Robin, older Robin, yeah. Giselle, and Karen. Yeah.
None of them have natural blonde hair, Kaya.
Yeah, when they was small, they all had funny color hair. They all had brassy looking, and with the blonde stuff around the edges, like Aborigines, all of them.
I believe Kaya, because
all of them look like in the summertime when the sun hit them, all they hair on their arms.
Yeah, but even like that happens. That happens to me. That's the sun bleaching it. But they have light brown hair, sure. But because you look at Robin's hair when she was in college, when she started dating homeboy, her boyfriend, her hair was just like this, brown, dark brown. That's it.
Okay.
So clearly, Gina's been watching some ratchet TV too. Clearly, because she's
I used to watch Real Housewives of Atlanta and Potomac. Absolutely, I watched Black renditions of the Real Housewives, but then I stopped like 2 years ago because I couldn't be bothered anymore.
Okay, all right, cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wow. Sorry.
Yeah, so I'm watching them right now, and I have never seen so many rich women get on bot and I'm alive. I never seen this before in my life, so it just lets us know that whether you have money or not, you're not too far removed from the bullshit. The hoity-toity negroity thing has completely gone out the window for me. I'm like, look at them. They're worse than me. And I live in the ghetto. Yeah. They are doing a lot. But I have to say that their resolve for things has actually intrigued me. I feel like I love the way that they hang out together, they fight, and then they get back friends again. Mm-hmm. I like that because the truth be told, I think they realize that it's not really easy to find friends, one, friends that you could call friends, and that you could fight with, get back together again, and still live your lives with. There's a lot of lonely people out there because they don't know how to accept other people's faults and just move past that, take an apology and move past that. There's a lot of lonely people. It's a lot of people out there that can't say that actually say that they have no friends because of these things, because they just don't know how to live amongst people that way. If it's a fight, then we're absolutely not friends anymore. And that is something that I respect from them. So I'm on them right now. Real Housewives of Potomac. In all the ratchetness, I have learned a lesson. So nice.
The only thing I randomly watched was a show. It was another a reality type of show. I can't even remember the name of it, but the whole premise of it was this black couple was getting married as like an African couple, and they needed the mother's blessing, the groom's mother's blessing. She's an African woman, and she wasn't having it. For some reason, I didn't catch the beginning. All I know when I tuned in is that they're trying all kind of ways to convince the mom that, you know, the wife is the wife, and she was just not having it. She'd been real hard and real stern. But what was cool is, you know, by the end of it, with communication and different things like that, she did eventually give her blessing by the end of the show, which is a ooh wow feel good moment. What I had liked about it is just the respect for the culture, you know, like for them it was a really big deal to be able to move forward with the mother's blessing, you know, like just so that they could move forward with a certain energy. It wasn't just like, well, whatever, mom, that's you and this is me onto my life. So that I found that they did take the time, you know, to work it out. Don't get me wrong, the son did get to a point where he's like, look, well, I'm gonna give her this one last chance, but if not, I'm gonna have to live my life, because at the same time, like, she's kind of impeding my growth and my development as a man. So, you know, you know, they say it comes to a point where you're gonna have to just leave from your mom and, you know, cling to your wife or whatever be the case. So it was that kind of thing. So, you know, so that was my little random TV watch there.
I wish someone would have gave Burna Boy that advice, because his mother made him break up with Stefflon Don because she has a kid and that's not his. And that he got into the relationship with her and the girl had a kid. And because of that, his mother refused to allow them to marry. And they're saying, oh, now they're bringing out these different stories to make it look good in the media. Oh, she cheated, he cheated, but it's not true. His mother refused. Blessing. So.
Wow, that's a shame.
It is. Well,
I'm going to end my segment with what I want to call a J. Cole corner. Because, you know, he's one of my favorite rappers out there, top five, top three. And someone did a little breakdown of his lyrics that just proves more of his genius. So, Pharaoh, go ahead and run the tape.
Here's how J. Cole rapped a triple entendre and a quadruple entendre in just two bars.
See, the glass is empty. I see a glass full of ether, collecting his bread and mass like he a Catholic preacher.
Playing off the idiom of seeing the glass half full or half empty, Cole boasts that he sees not emptiness nor water, but ether, the invisible vaporized gas once used as an anesthetic in the title of Nas's infamous 2001 track Dissing Jay-Z. Cole then boasts about his wealth with clever Catholic wordplay, as collecting bread refers to both the donations collected during church services and the sacramental bread eaten in those services. In this way, in mass is both in mass, as in the Catholic service, and in mass, the French idiom for a lot, meaning Cole is collecting massive amounts of bread or cash. But both mass and ether gain additional layers when Cole continues rapping.
Eureka! Einstein on the brink of the theory of relativity, really no MC equal.
Cole plays off Einstein's famous equation, with real E serving as the E, and no MC equal meaning no MC or rapper is on Cole's level. But the M in the original equation actually stands for mass, adding a layer to Cole's previous use of mass. Meanwhile, Einstein's theory of relativity disproved the existence of the invisible substance previously thought to transmit light. What was that substance called? Ether.
Woo! Cole!
Ooh,
that's why he's cold. That's why he's cold.
Ooh. Whole world right there. That's why. No. So that was my little Cole's corner right there. So I grind, you grind, and sometimes we need to ungrind together. That's Ungrind My Gears with Gina the Great. Thank you to our special guest. This episode is possible thanks to the awesome people at CKUT, the OFC, Solo Drum, the Caribbean Curry House, and Afrobeats MTL. Do y'all have any shout outs for Jess today?
Just big shout out to the community. If you guys know you need anything, please do not hesitate to reach out to the OFC, OFC community. We're here at your service. Anything you need, you come to us. And a big shout out to Apple, who celebrated his birthday last week.
And I'm going to give a quick shout out to my goddaughter, Shea, and my grandma, who share the same birthday, Shea and Shonda, and their birthday was January 26th. So yeah, I'm sending love to them two ladies.
Happy birthday. Stay blessed. Highly favored.
Kings and queens, this was the Empower Hour with Pharoah Freeman, Queen Kaya, and Gina the Great. We are on live every Sunday from 7 to 9 p.m. and broadcasting Thursday mornings at 7 a.m. on CKUT 90.3 FM. Hopefully you got your dose of entertainment, enlightenment, and empowerment.
Bidding a good morning to you all, I'm Jerry Goodfriend, welcoming you to Folk Directions, a program of music based in and influenced by tradition, here on CKUT Radio, 90.3 FM in Montreal, streamed and archived on the World Wide Web at ckutfolk.com.